Welcome to 1010 Thrive. Today we bring you a previously broadcast episode.
Welcome to a special edition of 1010 Thrive. Faith and Redemption in the Book of Ruth, part of our series, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible.
As the sun begins its ascent over the hills of Bethlehem, I find myself sitting on the rooftop, enjoying the cool morning breeze. In the distance, I catch a glimpse of families beginning their daily routines, including my own. Hannah and Obed, my precious grandchildren, their laughter echoing through the narrow streets, chase each other with boundless energy. My daughter, Ruth, a big smile on her face, sidesteps the running children and gracefully moves about, balancing a water jug on her head, as she makes her way to the village well. Ruth and her husband Boaz have servants who could fetch water for them. But that precious young woman likes doing these sorts of things for herself. Ruth, she is my heart. My given name is Naomi, once known as Pleasant, but life has etched its lines upon my face and carved its sorrows deep within my soul. I changed my name to Mara, expressing the bitterness and grief over the losses I experienced. I was born into a loving home in the time of the judges, long after the days of Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. My youth was filled with the simple joys of Bethlehem, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of fertile fields and rolling hills. My family, descendants of Ephrath, has lived in Bethlehem for generations. We are Ephrathites, deeply rooted in the soil that sustains us. In those days, the land was not only the source of our sustenance, but it also held our hopes and dreams. The fields were fertile, yielding bountiful harvests that painted the landscape with vibrant hues of gold and green. But life, as it often does, took an unexpected turn. A shadow fell upon our land, and a famine swept across the region, leaving barren fields and empty bellies in its wake. The once fertile soil turned dry and cracked, and the crops withered away. It's hard to believe that it's already been 20 years since that fateful spring that my husband, Elimelech, and I decided to move our family from Bethlehem to Moab. We are from the tribe of Judah, and we were raised to fear Yahweh and give glory to Him. As such, even after the onset of famine, we were reluctant to leave. We believed that Yahweh would make a way for us. Were it just the two of us, we might have stayed. But we had two boys, Malan and Kilian, who were almost grown. And we worried what the future might hold for them here. And so, with heavy hearts, we left our home in Bethlehem and traveled east. We went to Moab, a land known for its rugged beauty and its people who worship strange gods. We decided to go there because we heard that there was land available for us to buy, and the famine in that region was not as severe. It was just a few days' journey. And the Moabites are descended from Lot, Abraham's nephew, and so they are our distant relatives. Still, we were strangers in a strange land, an Israelite family seeking solace amidst unfamiliar faces and customs. We were able to find a nice plot of land, and we established ourselves fairly quickly, growing wheat and barley. We built a home, and the laughter of our sons filled its walls. However, one day, before the first harvest, as Elimelech was working out in the field, he fell and hit his head. Within hours, he had died. The boys and I managed as best we could for the first year. We grew enough to take care of our needs. In the second year, as things improved, the boys made friends with people in the village. I worried that they might be unduly influenced. But they remained faithful to Yahweh. After some time, Malan met Ruth, a young Moabitess from a good local family. When he introduced me to her, I immediately liked her. Not just because of her striking beauty, but because she was kind, modest, and deeply respectful. They were soon married. Following the next harvest, Kilian also married to an attractive, yet quiet young woman named Orpah. The two women moved in with us, and we worked together to maintain our home and the field. They were eager to learn about the God of Abraham. They recited the Shema with us each night. And they participated in our religious ceremonies. Then, after a few years, tragedy struck. We started raising cattle on the land, and it is possible that some of our cows were diseased. Both Malin and Kylian started suffering symptoms around the same time. And, at first, we were not too troubled. They had mild coughs, and complained of fatigue and muscle aches. But within days, they were in extreme distress, having difficulty breathing. And before the week was out, they were both dead. In the wake of such loss, I questioned the very fabric of my existence. Why had life dealt me such a cruel hand? Was there purpose in this pain? I wrestled with these questions, searching for meaning amidst the wreckage of my shattered dreams. In the depths of my despair, a glimmer of hope emerged. News reached my ears of the Lord's blessing upon my homeland, of the abundant harvests, and the return of prosperity. My heart stirred with a longing to return, to seek solace in the familiar embrace of Bethlehem's soil. With my daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, by my side, I embarked on the journey back to the land that held both joy and sorrow in its embrace. But as we neared the border of Moab, I could not bear to burden Orpah and Ruth with the weight of my grief any longer. I urged them to return to their own families, to seek happiness and security in the land of their birth. Orpah, with a heavy heart, chose to turn back, bidding us farewell with tearful embraces. But Ruth, oh Ruth, her love and devotion were steadfast. I remember her words, like it was yesterday.
Do not urge me to leave you, or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you.
Together, Ruth and I arrived in Bethlehem, our hearts burdened with the weight of grief and uncertainty. In Bethlehem, we faced the challenges of survival, relying on the ancient customs of gleaning to gather food from the fields of others. I watched as Ruth, my steadfast companion, toiled under the hot sun, her hands calloused and her back stooped. Her selflessness and determination inspired me, reminding me that even in the darkest of times, there is hope. One day, Ruth returned from the fields, with a glimmer of excitement in her eyes. She told me of a kind man, named Boaz, who had shown her favor and had instructed his workers to leave extra grain for her to gather. She spoke of this man with admiration and gratitude, for he had extended his protection and provision to her as a foreigner. Overwhelmed by Ruth's account, I realized that Boaz was more than just a generous landowner. He held a position as a kinsman redeemer, a relative who had the right to redeem our family's land and ensure its preservation within our lineage. This revelation filled me with hope, for I understood that Boaz could play a significant role in securing Ruth's future and providing stability for us both. With a mix of trepidation and anticipation, I devised a plan to secure a future for Ruth. I instructed her to prepare herself and to present herself to Boaz in the darkness of night, at the threshing floor where he would be sleeping. I knew that this unconventional approach carried risks, but desperation fueled my determination to secure a life of blessing for Ruth. As night fell, Ruth followed my instructions faithfully. Cloaked in darkness, she approached the threshing floor where Boaz lay asleep. She uncovered his feet and lay down at those feet, a symbolic gesture that expressed her willingness to seek his protection and provision as our kinsman redeemer. In the early morning light, Boaz stirred from his slumber, awakening to the sight of Ruth at his feet. Surprised and moved by her act of vulnerability, he asked her who she was.
"I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wing over your servant, for you are a redeemer."
Boaz, recognizing the honor and responsibility that came with his role as a kinsman redeemer, praised Ruth for her loyalty and faithfulness. He acknowledged that she had chosen him over younger men, demonstrating her devotion to our family and the God of Israel. Boaz assured Ruth that he would fulfill his duties as a redeemer, but acknowledged that there was a nearer relative who had the first right of redemption. He promised to resolve the matter that very day, ensuring that the path to their union would be pursued according to the proper legal procedures. With a heart filled with gratitude and anticipation, I awaited the outcome of Boaz's actions. True to his word, Boaz approached the nearer relative, presenting him with the opportunity to redeem our land. However, the relative declined, realizing that this redemption would also involve marrying Ruth and preserving Elimelech's lineage. And so, Boaz, standing as a man of honor and integrity, fulfilled his role as the kinsman redeemer. He publicly declared his intention to redeem our land and take Ruth as his wife, in the presence of the elders and witnesses. In the joyous union of Ruth and Boaz, God's handiwork was evident. I am grateful for the unwavering love and loyalty of Ruth, the faithfulness of Boaz, and the steadfast presence of Yahweh in our lives.